Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Walden. My guest today is from the Le Ragnaia Winery in Montalcino, and his name is
Riccardo Campinotti.
Thanks, Riccardo. How did you end up in Montalcino and when did you get there?
So I ended up in Montalcino in 2002. I am from Siena originally, so about half an hour away, and I've always been into wine. I was a passion of wine, so when I started looking to go on my own, a few areas that I looked at were around home. So obviously Chianti and Montalcino. Montalcino for us was obviously a dream because it was the most prestigious and legendary for us in the area, and you know, for I guess for a lot of people in Italy. So it came natural to start looking up here, and I found good situation for me, and here I am. Now it's been almost 20 years.
So you actually ended up buying vineyards and a winery. Was it called a Musico?
Yeah, the Musico actually, it was always called Le Ragnaia. Musico was the name of like the old trade name, and it was the nickname of the old owner. So that's why he called the winery, he called the wine actually Musico. And now there is another winery called Musico that run by one of his kids still.
Yeah, he was Guido Martini, that was his name. Yeah, the guy that you bought the farm from, yeah?
Yeah, the Martini family, correct.
So so when you bought it, what was there in terms of crops? Was it just vineyards or were there other crops as well, like fruit or grain?
It was, you know, first of all, it was pretty run down, but it was mostly vineyards, around 3 hectares of vines and then some olives. That's it.
And whereabouts is the winery based?
The winery is in the highest point of Montalcino. We are in an area called Lume Spento, which is the highest place on the whole appellation and facing southwest. It's quite near the village. We're about 3 minutes by car from Montalcino. So it's in the central, more historic kind of area, but it's facing towards southwest.
So it's a cool area, but with warm afternoons.
Correct. There is a big difference in temperature between night and day, so that's very good.
So you got that vineyard, let's call that the home vineyard, if you like, and then you've also been rather cleverly buying up other little parcels of vineyards around Montalcino, and I think it'd be great if we could go through some of those single vineyard sites, because Montalcino is a very complicated place, even though Brunello is only made from a single variety. But if we can get a little bit of detail about the terroir, it'd be great.
So the original vineyards were here in the highest point, and also one vineyard called Petroso, which is next to the village of Montalcino. So that one is about 450 meters and is about 100 meters away from the village. So also that is one of the historic parts for vine growing. Then in the end of 2005, I bought two small vineyards in Castelnuovo de Labate, one in the lower part of Castelnuovo called Cava, and one in the highest point next to Mastroianni.
So what was the difference in soil types between those two? Because they're quite different terroirs, aren't they?
Which ones? The one in Castelnuovo, between each other?
Yeah, the Castelnuovo, yeah.
So the one at the very top, of the 400 meters, the site used to be a lake bed. So that terroir there is kind of like round stones, kind of like river deposit, lake deposit, and then also not too much clay. The one and the Cava, which is right next to the old quarry for onyx. Yeah. Yes, there's a good bit of clay, like gray clay, but also there is a bit of sandstone. It's a very complex terroir. It's really nice, even though it's a little bit warmer over there because it's in the lower part. Whereas in Le Ragnaia, we mainly have sandstone and limestone. This is of sea origin here.
Okay, what about Vigna Cappuccini?
Yeah, Cappuccini is here next to Vigna Vecchia in Le Ragnaia, so it's part of the original vineyards. Then over the years, we also planted some, like you said, we acquired a little bit here and there, small vineyards, And then we planted some more here at Le Ragnai as well. So after one that I purchased in Castelnuovo, two different times, I bought another one in Castelnuovo in 2008, also small. And so these were all bought from older guys that were kind of always, you know, farming grapes and then selling them to the co-op. And then they just wanted to retire. So I got these three small vineyards from them. And then I bought another one in 2014 in Montosoli. So I bought another vineyard in the Montosoli area. Right, one is right next to Barici, to their cellar. And the other is on the other side of the hill in near the Cantina Sociale.
Okay, so Montosoli is kind of one of the holy grail terroirs of Montalcino. Barici, that Riccardo mentioned, is a very respected family, old family in Montalcino, who are very much linked with the Montosoli terroir, so really sort of classic classic wines. In terms of Montosoli, there are some variations in the soil types. Which bit are you on Montosoli?
So I am right next to, you know, as you pass the cellar of the Barici family, it's on the right hand side, so it's in the lower part of the hill. So it is a little bit more it's in the lower part of Montosoli. This is why I come out with the label Casanovina Montosoli. It is a blend of also here you have limestone and you have clay on the lower side of our vineyards. There will be more clay, and then on the higher part is more rocky. So we are around 300 meter elevation.
Do you work those vineyards slightly differently in terms of either pruning or cover cropping?
Well, so all the, you know, it's never a recipe for all the vineyards. So it's everything is really different. So in Le Ragnaie and Petroso, I don't plow. I keep the grass, I used to do cover crops, but then since 2008, I just keep the whatever wild grass we have. I just mulch the grass. In all the other vineyards, I do cover crops over the winter, in the fall and the winter, and then I mulch them and plow them in around April, May.
What do you sow as a cover crop over winter then?
It depends on the where, because if there is more clay, I tend to give something that can add a little bit more nitrogen to the soil, because the soil needs a bit more push, so more fava beans, also clover. And then in the area, for instance, in the high part of Castelnuovo, there is a vineyard that is already have good vigor, that we don't really need to add too much nitrogen. Over there, I put stuff that is more good for water drainage and soil complexity. So clover, and I use mustard. Yes, yeah, something that has a longer root that can export soil more. So it also the cover crops change from area to area. But then here in all the other vineyards that are kind of in the warmer side, I plow. So I don't keep it unplowed, because essentially it's too warm and too dry. So the idea in the future is to go at least on alternate rows to keep cover crop permanently. But you know, it's tricky, especially now that it's so hot every year. You have to be careful. So, but I'm very happy with what we do, at least in the high elevation sites where we don't plow at all.
Is it nice, the fact that I know, you know, you've got an incredible range of different vineyards. Is it nice for you to be able to work those vineyards and to give each different vineyard a slightly different way of, you know, cover cropping or maybe pruning, soil management, shoot positioning, that kind of thing? Does that make the work more interesting?
It makes it more interesting because all the sites are different and they react differently. But it's also, I think it's also necessary, because you cannot do a 621 meters, which is our highest vineyard. You cannot do the same that you do at 200 meters with a completely different soil. I mean, you have to adapt to the different areas. Obviously, in the warmer and more vigorous places, we tend to keep more higher yields, even, because we don't want to have an imbalance in the wine. And instead, in the highest elevation, where ripening is a little bit more tricky in certain vintages, we do lower yields and a little bit more green harvesting and drop some fruit. If you do the same in Castelnuovo, for instance, you would have, in my opinion, and my experience too, you would have too much concentration, which is something that I don't really want.
So that's a classic question. If any of you are going to do your Master of Wine exam, you've got a classic question about, are high yields always negative? And this is a great example of where higher yields are very, very sensible and won't hurt the plant, won't damage the vineyard, and certainly won't damage the wine in terms of its balance, in terms of sugar and its acid strength, its pH and things like that. So that's very sensible farming. I mean, you clearly enjoy, you love what you do, the variety of, you're like a chef, you've got all these different ingredients that you can work with. It must be very stimulating, not just for you, but also for your workers.
Yes, it's nice to have all these. For the workers, sometimes it's probably a little bit a pain because we have a lot to travel. Also with the tractors, it's just a long way sometimes from here from the winery to the farther away vineyards. But it's definitely stimulating because you get different sites and really. You get different results, and I think everybody's enjoying seeing also the final result, really, when it's in the bottle, because the difference is quite remarkable, especially between certain vineyards. And the idea is to, obviously, you made the chef comparison, my favorite food is the one that is less touched, so simple. So I try to do the same in the cellar. So keep it simple and have wines that respect. I know it's very cliche, everybody says it nowadays, but respect the terroir and respect where the grapes come from.
Do your workers enjoy, I know you talked about logistics and getting around with the tractor, but do they like the fact that they can walk into vineyards that often have other plants in them, plants other than vines, with the cover crops and that kind of thing? Do they have a remark about that to you, or do they just not interested?
No, to be honest, I know that for them it's more boring when they go in the vineyards that have less biodiversity, for sure, where we have maybe neighbors who also have vines. For instance, here at Le Ragnaie, we are completely surrounded by forest. We have a lake, we have, some animals, so here is a little bit more natural, whereas in Castelnuovo, for instance, it's just vine after vine, and it's like working in the fields of cotton, in a way, you don't see the end of vines. It can be boring to the eye, which is, also important, absolutely.
So when I last saw you, but I've got a little note here from one of our conversations saying you described your winemaking style as traditional, but when we started the first two vintages we were a little bit more modern because I knew less and it was kind of the trend at the time. So you're happy with the change that you made?
Very much. I realized that I didn't like the wines that I was making in the beginning. That's it wasn't even like a commercial, actually that was the kind of wine that people wanted back then, but I wasn't enjoying the results, and then I realized that all the wines that I liked more were made in a more pure and balanced way, and so that's what I started looking for.
Yeah, it's nice to hear someone speak so candidly about that kind of thing, because it's sometimes producers get very nervous speaking to journalists about what they're trying to do. Have we missed anything? Is there anything else that we can talk about? You'd like to tell us anything, any news?
So in the email, you wanted to talk about some how work is going during COVID, or?
Montalcino hasn't been too badly affected by COVID in terms of numbers of people that have had it, COVID. In terms of the commercial side, how have things panned out?
In terms of wine sales, we have not been affected almost at all. Probably the reason being also that we are out with two great vintages right now, which is 15 and 16, so that might be helpful. But from what I've noticed, our customers, maybe they had to change a little bit from restaurants being closed, they move on to retail a little bit more, but the wines are selling really well, and we're really happy. We also have an agriturismo that's being very affected, to be honest. There's no tourists around, there's nobody around, it's kind of a ghost town right now. So we're looking forward to having this thing over, you know, for a number of reasons, but also so that people can come back to Montalcino and visit the wineries and so on.
Tell us about your VV bottling, the Brunello VV, which is the Vigna Vecchia. Give us a bit of do you know the history of that vineyard, and how old is the vineyard now?
Yeah, planted at the end of the 1960s from the former owners, and it's the original vineyard of the farm. So it's a very special vineyard. It's overlooking towards west, southwest, and it's a 600 meter. When it was planted back in those days, high elevation was not really seen as the best, because maybe the weather was different, and also, you know, in order to do very well here, you had to be a little bit lower on yields, as we said. So maybe that wasn't very easy back then. People wanted high yields. But now, you know, I was tasting the 17s, which was really hot and dry vintage. And yes, from up here, just reacted in a great way. And the wines are fresh and they're vibrant and really happy.
So this is one of the oldest and highest vineyards in Montalcino. If I've got my notes correctly, it was planted in 1968. Right. I'm a 67 chap myself. That's when I was born. And it's one of the highest, or if not the highest, vineyard in Montalcino. So if anybody's going to be making the best wine in those kind of hot conditions in Montalcino, it's going to be you.
Yes, we definitely have an edge on warm vintages. I mean, you can't say anything different. I mean, we're in the highest place, and we have more thermal difference between night and day, and it's cooler in general. So definitely we're very lucky in those kind of vintages. And also in the cooler vintages, you just have to be careful, like with your vineyard management and the yields, but you still have great fruit also in the cooler vintages.
Yeah, because they're old, aren't they? They know what they're doing.
Correct. The vines are fantastic.
Okay, so yesterday I won 15 million euros on the lottery, and I want some advice, and I give you a call, and I say, listen, I want to buy some vineyards in Montalcino. I want vineyards in three different areas. Where would they be? Where would you advise me to plant?
Okay, so something in the highest areas, so either around the village or here around us, and then I would say Sesta and Santa Restituta.
Oh, really? Okay, so Sesta is in the far south of Montalcino. It's quite a hot area, but it's got makes some of the best wines in Montalcino. What do you like about Sesta then?
Not really in the far south. It's in Sant'Angelo in Colle. You know, before Sant'Angelo in Colle. So it's in the south, so obviously it's warmer, but it's up high enough, so it's cool enough. So I think it's a good balance. It's a beautiful terroir. It's a good balance between the warmer side of the southern areas and also the central side. And then, Santa Restituta, because they just make great wines down there.
Okay, did you tell us about Santa Restituta? Where is it?
Santa Restituta is right below us, about a couple of hundred meters lower in elevation, maybe 250, something like that. And, it's where great wineries like Soldera and Fattoi, you know, the Santa Restituta now Gaia, Caprini. So everybody down there seems to make great wine. So obviously the terroir has to do something with it. It can't be that bad.
And final question, you've won the lottery. You can buy anything you want for the winery. What would you buy that you don't have?
Oh, for the winery?
Yeah, is there anything you need? Anything that any new technology that you think is going to be useful in the future?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I would buy a bottling machine.
Okay.
I rent a bottling machine, and so it's time to buy it.
Yeah, okay. Alrighty. Is there anything else you want? Anything else? Any news? Anything that you want to tell us that we didn't cover? Did I miss any vineyards?
No, I think we're all good.
So I want to say thanks to my guest there, Riccardo Campinotti of Le Ragnaie Vineyard in Montalcino, one of the most interesting wineries for me in the region because of its patchwork of single vineyards. And also, Riccardo, I think makes fantastic wine. He does it the right way, and the wines really do show the differences between the individual sites that he has. And the people often talk about wines that are crafted, well crafted. This is a perfect example of that. And you can't make wines like he makes unless you're on top of all the little details. And what's nice is you do it with a smile on your face as well. So thanks a lot, Ricardo. I really appreciate your time. And always good to talk to you. Take care. And hopefully we look forward to brighter times.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you.
Take care, my friend. Bye.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.